Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
On the eve of Easter, so happy Easter for those of you who celebrate, and for the rest of you heathens, you know, just enjoy, you know, just enjoy. But welcome to another edition of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden, holding it down in Midtown Manhattan at an undisclosed location, and joined by my friend and co-host, great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's happening?
What's up, Bill? Everything's good over here in Brooklyn. I'm, you know, I'm a little tired running my kid around to basketball games, and you know, fresh back from the men's Final Four, which turned out to be, you know, not the most exciting compared to where you were. You know, I guess so.
Yeah, it was a dud, but we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about it with our guest and friend, the great C.L. Brown. C.L. is joining us from, I think, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. I'm the proverbial my mama's basement.
Coming in live. You're still in the basement?
It's Easter, and you know, came home, and I would have set it up big had I known, you know, but when Jamal reached out and stuff, this is what it is. So
it's all good.
Y'all don't have to send help or anything. I know it looks like I'm in a dungeon. I'm gonna show proof of life from a newspaper in a second. But we're waiting to see what it does.
Well, wherever you but thanks for joining us, man. It's really great. I think you've been on the show before, and I remember we connected a long time ago at a Final Four.
Yes, sir.
A number of years ago, and I forgot where it was, but
Houston, I think.
Was it Houston?
We had the, you know, you had one of those dinners.
Yeah. Yeah.
The black sports writer get together.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot where that was. But yeah, man. Breaking news, CL just told us that he's got a new gig. Starting Monday, he's gonna be a columnist at the Louisville Courier Journal. So that's great, great, great news, man. So happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations.
I'm excited about it. Worked there for 13 years, but not in the last 10. But going back to a place I'm very familiar with, and in a lot of respects, I feel like it's like a second home for me.
Well, that'll be great, man. You spent 13 years there.
Yeah.
So that'd be great, man. This will be a whole new writing adventure for you. You know, being able to write columns and talk about you know, issues and how you feel about them. And I can't wait to see your debut. Hopefully you'll do it around the 13th of April so I could distribute it to my class at the Cronkite School at ASU. And hopefully you'll join. How's this putting you on the spot? And hopefully you'll join us. You'll join us for class. But I think that's great news, CL. How did that come about, by the way? How did that? This is what the show is supposed to be about, but it's fresh and it's good news. How did it come about?
Well, my former editor in Raleigh for the past year was Natalie Pierre, and she is now the sports editor in Louisville. And I think really as a byproduct of a lot of conversations we had, I mean, in Raleigh, I was the North Carolina, University of North Carolina beat reporter. And so I think some of the conversations we had about story ideas and, you know, some of the times I did our podcast for the paper, she just kind of, you know, respected the way that I thought about things and approached things, and wanted to give me this opportunity in terms of writing about the bigger picture a lot more than, you know, the nuts and bolts of a beat. So obviously, you know, had I not worked there before, I'm not sure if I would have been somebody she was interested in. But given my background there as well, and my background in college basketball, that's like my number one sport, if you will. She thought I'd be a good fit, so I'm glad it worked out.
A former friend, Rick Bozick, I guess, was a long time columnist in Louisville. So
that's my guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Great guy.
Okay. Real quick. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live events, the conference championships, right through to the Final Four and the championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag. Where the game starts.
So we could just dive in, man. Since you talked about college basketball is your beat, you've got deep roots in college basketball. What'd you think of the respective Final Fours? The men, which we thought was awful, wasn't awful, but it was not eventful. But what did you think of the two Final Fours, both being in Texas, the women, of course, being in Dallas, the men being in Houston? What'd you think?
I could give a complaint that probably none of your listeners want to hear about, just from logistically speaking, you know, Houston doing the Final Four, it's so spread out, and it's not, I don't feel like I'm part of the Final Four when I'm there. Not like, you know, last year in New Orleans, basically New Orleans, Indianapolis, San Antonio, those right. have been my three favorite in the rotation. Because you're just everybody's in the same kind of location. Yeah. You can walk a lot of places and you feel a part of it. All that being said, I kind of liken the women's Final Four and the emergence of Caitlin Clark in Iowa to looking back to like Bird Magic in 79. And I wonder, obviously, what Bird Magic did for the sport and launching things forward in the NBA. I'm wondering if, did we just witness a moment with women's college basketball because of, you know, all the eyes that they drew, you know, the highest rated TV audience for a final game? Is that about our love of watching exceptionally talented players like a Caitlin Clark come along and carry that team against the powerhouse South Carolina program and then, you know, and then facing LSU, which you know, was up there too. So was it about that moment, or is this momentum for the women's game? That's what I'm most curious to see about, because, you know, with all of the talk that followed, whether it was the Jill Biden invitation or talk of an invitation to Iowa, or the whole trash-talking saga with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark that probably played out longer than it should have to me. But those things, we don't normally talk about women's basketball as much as we did following that game and this Final Four. So I'm hoping that it is something that's going to be a springboard, and you know, we kind of get used to that. And a little trash talk among the women is not a big deal anymore.
Yeah. I just put you on the spot. If you were going to write a column about it, what would you write? I mean, I know that it's past. I give you the luxury of it's over. But what are your thoughts about it if you were going to write about it? Write about, I don't know, would you contrast the men's and the women? Would you bring up the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson thing? Would you talk about momentum? Of all things, what do you think is the point that catches your attention?
Well, yeah, definitely would write from an angle that that this could be the momentum. You know, this could be the springboard that they need to go forward because of the talent involved. Caitlin Clark will be back again for another year. South Carolina certainly isn't going anywhere as long as Dawn Staley is the head coach. You know, I feel like they'll be back. And I think there are a lot of things in place that can grow the game. But this is, I feel like, a critical year. Like, they have to take advantage of what we just saw and really get behind the promotion of their stars, the promotion of star programs. And, yeah, just really not back down from that. I think, you know, there was a lot of good that happened in that women's tournament, and I think people would be more receptive to seeing it. It's funny though; it's like you still have the Neanderthals. I got an email. I covered Duke in their first; they hosted, you know, first and second round games. And after I did a story from the first game, I had somebody email me. A man clearly emailed me. The subject line was like women's basketball. And the only text once I opened the email was, who cares? And so, you know, that was the only one I got from the story. But I think, you know, you're still going to have that element out there. But the more the product is out and people watch it, I think the more they'll like it.
Yeah, I think that's a great sign. You only got one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think in past years, really? you might have been flooded with that. And I agree with you. I think, you know, especially the Bird Magic angle, and, you know, one of the big things with the Bird Magic angle obviously was race. Yes. I do think Caitlin Clark's race plays a factor. She's a great, 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 great player. But when you, for some, you know, some reason in this country, you pose a, you know, a very good white athlete with a very good black athlete or program, and yeah, you bring those two together. You know, I watched it in the bar in Houston, and there was a divide, but that, you know, both sides were very enthusiastic.
Yeah,
you know, so
what bar did you go to, man?
I was in foreign land in Houston. I was at some bar. I don't even remember the name, but you know, everybody was watching it, and there was, you know, a large group cheering for every time Caitlin Clark hit a long three, or every time LSU stopped her, or LSU took the lead. You know, there was definitely that dynamic there. But besides that, I do think it's going to be a springboard for the college game, because there already are these underlying factors. The game has been growing over the past few years. The tournament has been watched by more people over the past few years. You look at the high school level, there are some great girl players coming up the ranks. You know, I watched the women's McDonald's All-American game. I think it's the first time I've really watched that, which shows you, you know, where we are. But, you know, I was very impressed. I've covered female high school athletes over the past couple of years. So the game is growing. They have, you know, the personalities are big. So I agree with you. They need to, you know, dig into that and promote that. But I think it is a springboard.
Yeah, just to embrace that. And one of the things I felt like the racial aspect to it was kind of implied. I should have, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
I felt like there were parallels to what I used to call Black America's team when the Minnesota Vikings had, you know, Green was coaching, Dennis Green, and Randall Cunningham was quarterback, Randy Moss at receiver, and they lost in the NFC championship game. That's what Iowa beating South Carolina felt like to me. Like, it was like you had Dawn Staley in the pursuit of an undefeated season, and then you had Iowa just come and kind of take it from them. Well, not take it from them. They played well, obviously. But, yeah, I felt like a lot of people, you know, that was like the wind out of the stomach.
I was crestfallen. I can't complain, man. You know, I kind of go back to the old school days. You know, you always cheered for the, when me and my, I started watching football with my dad, the rules of the house were clear. You cheered for the team with the most black players. It's just automatic. And decades later, you know, you have South Carolina, and everybody likes Dawn Staley. I mean, not everybody, but for the most, I've always liked Dawn Staley. And you've got this undefeated team, and you've got her going for back-to-back titles, and you've got this all-black team that have one white player, and it's such a stark contrast with Iowa that this all-white team, they had two black players on the bench. So to me, it was clear. You know, and you're right. When they lost, I was like, I was trying to disguise them. I was like, yeah, I was like kind of walking around like trying to put on a good face, you know. Yeah, you got. In fact, I was at the elevator in my hotel, and I got on there, two white people with Iowa stuff on. And, you know, it's an awkward moment when the doors open, who goes first? And so the doors open. And I was like, no, you all go, you know, it's after you. You all won. And they said, oh, you a South Carolina fan? No, but I would just, yeah, you know, I was kind of crestfallen. But let me ask you a question. What did you think about, I mean, that's what, I think the thing that really kicked it off was the whole post-game stuff with Angel Reese, trash-talking Caitlin Clark. I'm sure you had to see it because they played it over and over and over again. Again, I put it on your columnist hat. What did that mean? Where did you fall? Which side of the ledger line did you fall? How would you put that in perspective?
Well, I kind of feel like, for starters, it's like we want women to be competitive in sports, but some people treat them with kid gloves, like, but you still got to be a lady or something. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're competitors. You know, they're cutthroat on the court, and it'll just like, you know, playing just like any of the men would play. And so, on one hand, this is what we want, right? In our competitors, we want to see fire. We want to see some spunk about them. We want to see them hate to lose and you know, and celebrate these victories. So, that was kind of my first thought to it. But as far as Angel Reese went, I didn't see anything wrong with what she did. That was the other thing. And it was pointed out many times, just kind of the double standard that went with, you know, when Caitlin Clark did the same things, and how there wasn't any criticism that followed and you know, an ESPN producer doing a whole session or a segment on Iowa's clapbacks, or at least Caitlin Clark's clapbacks, say that fast. So, you know, it got blown out of proportion. Now, I will say, though, for Angel Reese, I did think she could have walked it back a little bit. Like, you know, she didn't have to follow her on the court. that was a bit much for me, but again, I think that's all in the game. She didn't physically touch her. She didn't, you know.
That was next.
there was no real taunting, what I call taunting, just getting in her face. So, yeah, I got tired of hearing about it after you know, the first hour.
And I would say that the whole, you know, the controversy, really, you know, it didn't come, you know, to Caitlin Clark's credit, she didn't complain about it.
Yeah.
You know, she you know, this is her, this is what she does. She knows that she was doing the same thing. She, you know, she said, you know, I don't think anything should happen to Angel Reese. You know, she's competitive. She's talking trash. I was talking trash earlier. So it's almost like, you know, people kind of used her for whatever their agenda was, or tried to protect her when she doesn't need protecting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you don't get, you're not as good as she is without having played with a lot of black women your whole life.
Yeah.
Okay. Like this is also, this is her, this is, you know, this is what she does. You know what I'm saying? So she doesn't need any protection either. So I think she was kind of used in this whole thing.
Well, you know, that's the thing too about the Great White Hope, before we move on, is that the Great White Hope is usually not the athletes. Right. It's everybody around the athletes. It's the quote-unquote media around the athlete. I mean, when the term was first coined by Jack London, you know, aimed at Jack Johnson, calling for Jim Jeffries to come out of retirement, it was a writer, Jack London, who was saying, Jim, you got to save us. You got to come out of retirement, you know, and wipe that smile. You know, so it's always, man, let me ask you this, CL, before we move on. I was getting into this debate with the editor Sunday afterwards when we were talking about writing. And he said, you know, man, it's become this social media furor. And I guess my question was, is this a social media or a traditional media controversy? Where is the controversy? You know, because even Angel Reese was saying, you know, the media. And I said, well, and she was talking to the media there. And I'm like, well, do we have to distinguish between, you know, the quote unquote mainstream media and social media?
Well, I think in this case, I feel like both kind of picked it up with the same, you know, with the same intensity. Yeah. You know, I mean, some things I feel like do exist just on the internet, and they're really not a thing in real life to real people. But this is something I felt like crossed over because it, you know, it touches on that third rail of race in America. And, you know, and then Angel Reese didn't turn down any interviews. And she should be as a national champion, you know.
Right.
So, but that I felt like people kept asking her when she was doing these interviews. So that kind of kept it out there as well. So, you know, and then Jill Biden didn't help with her. I mean, I understand acknowledging, hey, this team that lost is a pretty good team, but not enough to ever be like, I should invite them as well.
Yeah, what'd you think about that? I mean, I wanted to, the gaffe. Again, that, you know, the story just was a gift that kept on giving.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're just thinking, oh, thank you, God. You know, this is like an unexpected manna from heaven, you know, that the first lady gets said. What did you, I mean, you prefaced by saying you didn't think she meant any harm. But what was your thought? I mean, Angel Reese was pretty defiant.
I mean, the funny thing is, I feel like somewhere Barack and Michelle Obama were like, how we get involved?
Dragging us into this. We're going to Barack's house.
I think if anything, it was just a case of Dr. Jill Biden just speaking out loud, like thinking out loud of a process. And I'm glad there was no formal invitation actually sent. But, you know, I mean, I always feel like sometimes as Black people, we are asked to do what no one else is asked to do. And
right.
So this would be a time where, yes, there would have been another unprecedented asking. But it's not like it was a Black school or all Black team, you know. So, but it still felt like asking us to be gracious enough to accept somebody else and allow them to have the same right. platform and same shine that we just earned. So so I'm glad that quickly, you know, quickly fell apart. And Iowa, it's not like Iowa was, you know, trying to solicit an invitation themselves. So I'm glad everything kind of worked out the way it should be, where LSU gets the lone invitation.
I think Caitlin Clark even said as much. She said something like, I forget what the words was, but, you know, it's basically why, you know, we lost, you know, you know. So again, I really thought that she did a good job of, Caitlin Clark did a good job of diffusing all of this and being the competitor. Me as a throwaway, meanwhile, back at the ranch, Connecticut beats San Diego State. You know, I didn't see an invitation go out for San Diego State. Let's invite them too.
Right.
But I just thought, you know, I drove to Houston from Dallas, just, and it was just two things stood out. All throughout the women's Final Four, they were talking about it was a sellout. You know, but they were playing in the Mavs basketball arena, which is like 19,000 something. And it, for some reason, it dawned on me, I'm like, in Houston, and they announced the attendance was like 60,000 something.
Right.
And I'm like, they're in this football arena.
Yeah.
So, and I know the tickets were cheaper, but hey, what did you think of the men? And do you think that we've been talking about parity, the women should even play around with being, one issue was should the Final Fours, men and women, be in the same city? And should you put the women's Final Four in the same kind of, like, huge arena? Does that do a disservice?
Yeah, I think the only – as of right now, I would not move the women's game to a domed arena unless they go ahead and fuse them together and have them all in one location. But I still don't like that idea. I still think the women should get their shine separately. I feel like if you fold them in most years, like take last year's Final Four, when you had certified blue bloods and Carolina and Duke playing in a semifinal, like they're going to get overshadowed. Like I don't care who the women's teams are involved in a year where the cream of the crop rises for the men's teams. And you're seeing those kind of big brands, you know, Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, you know, that's going to, I don't know, it's going to take something away from the women's game if they're all together, I feel like. So I think they should still keep it separate. As far as the dome, though, I was just talking about the game being a springboard, but I do feel like they need to be careful of trying to just expand things too fast, right. You know. Because I'm not sure if it's not the right teams, if it's not the right programs, or if it's not the right talent involved, would there be 60,000 people worth of interest in the women's? You know, like if a San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, if those kind of teams on a women's side made it,
right?
Like, you know,
could be a tough sell.
And kind of to your point, you know, the women's, they broke the record. It was what, 9.9 million, and it was and that broke the record. Meanwhile, the men's was the lowest ever, and it was 11.9 million. So, still more people watched the men's, but you know, despite the fact that the women's was the most watched ever, so there's still a gap there.
Yeah, I think the men's was more than that, though. I think it was like 15.9.
Really?
It was the first time under 17.
Okay.
And I think it was like 15.9.
Yeah.
But that also brings me to another point from the from the Final Four. I don't think UConn's a blue blood. I know he's got the fifth.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but you're from North Carolina, so you're a little biased.
I mean, look at it this way: UConn played in the lowest-rated men's national championship game. Now, if that was Carolina,
against San Diego State.
That was Kentucky. I feel like even against a quote unquote, you know, not a name brand kind of program, the bigger brands to me are still going to carry a larger audience.
So to you, blue blood means brand.
I mean, part of it, yeah. But because that brand has been established over so many years, decades. Like,
right.
Who are your blue bloods? Who, when you say, I mean, I know what you mean, but just again, putting you on, who are the
like
blue
Carolina,
bloods?
Kansas, Kentucky?
Yes. Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke.
UCLA.
I still would throw Indiana in. People say since Indiana hasn't won a title since 87, they don't belong. People say UCLA doesn't belong. I also think UCLA belongs because of the basketball culture.
right.
That these places have. I mean, especially in the end, like, it matters, you know, right. And they haven't won a title in 87, and it still matters with the same kind of attendance and the same kind of rigor and the same kind of excitement about basketball. So, yes, I don't put UConn in that category yet.
They got more
decades. They got more work to do.
Write that column. start off with that. Just brief, man, before we let you roll. Just your thoughts moving forward. I mean, because I guess another challenge will be as you start this new career of a columnist. You know, the NFL is still the monster. I mean, the NFL is still the gangster and all this stuff. You know, so. You know, it devours college basketball.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, like, get into, I guess, and you're like the Carolina Panthers. You're going to have to get into the NFL. What is your sense of the issues or what grabs your attention with the NFL?
Well, it's interesting you asked that, Bill, because I was thinking for a column when the season starts about why I haven't watched the NFL since 2017.
Uh-oh. Wow. Oh, that'll be good.
That's a great, please write that column. Please write that column.
Colin Kaepernick was the final straw for me. It basically comes down to, I'm tired of begging for acceptance. When I was little, watching a game and watching somebody like Warren Moon have to play, you know, the funny thing was, it was good ESPN needed that early programming, and you saw all those CFL games in Edmonton Eskimos. And so, but, you know, first it was, we couldn't play quarterback. So it's like begging acceptance to play quarterback. Then it was begging acceptance to be a head coach, you know, when Art Schell first got, like, I just feel like there's just too much of a pattern here. And we're still, to an extent, as black quarterbacks, you know, it's still like they have to justify different things of being different. And, you know, I mean, I just got to the point where I'm like, you know what? To me, the NFL is sending a message. If this was, you know, a woman I was trying to holler at, you know, and she kept making
all right, I get the point.
Kind of hurdles, I'd be like, you know what? She don't like me. I need to move on to something else. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel about the NFL. I know it's the king, you know.
Are you going to watch it now?
I mean, as far as my job goes, if I need to, I will actually watch a game. But it's not like I don't know what's going on, because I follow enough people in the media and, you know, friends and stuff that actually report on it. So, you know, I'll see headlines. I'll still click on stories to read, you know, sometimes. But especially with Lamar Jackson's situation right now,
which is another example of what you were talking about, the whole blackballing and collusion and, you know, all the dirty things that it does, but people are still addicted.
Yes.
Not you, but me and Jamal joke about it all the time. Here we are. You know? that's a great first call. Any thoughts about the NBA? Speaking of things that, I mean, there's going to be so much stuff on your plate, on your palate extends. Any thoughts about the NBA as we kind of move into the playoffs?
Well, the funny thing is, right now I'm curious about a team that's not going to the playoffs, the Dallas Mavericks, and their experiment gone awry, you know, bringing Kyrie in there. When you have an exceptionally talented player like Luka, man, the window is small. Like, you got to make the moves that'll get that team in place around him, so, you know, you can elevate and make a strong run. And I just, you know, I feel like Dallas is grasping at straws. And then I saw a headline in a report about maybe Luka's going to want to leave in 2024, you know, which that would crumble anything at this point. But and I also saw, you know, today about the NBA looking to investigate them for sitting out so many guys. So aside from the playoffs, you know, I was just kind of thinking about everything else behind the scenes, you know, that's going on and you know, could shape some of these teams moving forward.
What do you think about that decision? by Dallas, that Cuban made, I guess, to shrug off any hopes of the play-in. Like, obviously, yeah, they wanted no parts of that. Don't care if they make the playoffs at this point, because they still had a chance if they were to win their last two games. And to sit out Luka, play him. I mean, it was so blatant. I mean, he had to be doing that purposefully, to say something to Silver. I mean, it was too blatant.
Yeah, I mean, I hate it in general, the whole load management and guys not playing. And I respect Anthony Edwards in Minnesota for just coming out and saying he doesn't like it either. I think that Cuban's going to have to answer for something, because there's no good reason. And you got so many people that may have been the only game they've been to. I went to the Charlotte Hornets game. There's regular season home finale against the Rockets Friday night. And I was surprised at how many people showed up, for a team that's not going anywhere. And
two teams.
The best players aren't even playing right now.
Right.
Just kind of a ragtag lineup on the floor. But there are a lot of people engaged, a lot of kids there. And I was just thinking, like, this is probably some people's, first time being able to go, or first experience that they're having with the league. And you got to keep the customer in mind, regardless of whatever kind of broadcast money you get, and a certain amount of that isn't going to change no matter what the product is. You still got to respect the product you're putting out on the floor and, give the fans who they came to see. So barring like serious injuries or, something you really have to keep an eye on, these guys got to be playing.
Sounds like another column. there's no shortage of columns. Hey, man. Well, listen, man. Thank you so much for your time, your insights, man. We could talk for another hour, man. I see why they were so eager to have you as a columnist, man. You got a lot of stuff to say.
I appreciate it.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you.
And looking forward to have you speak to the class, by the way. That'll be a great interaction.
I'll wear a college shirt for the kids.
So our guest has been the great C.L. Brown, the columnist now, Louisville Journal columnist now, freshly minted. We're breaking news here. He'll start sometime soon in the next few days. Can't wait to see that first column. He's already gave us a hint of what he's thinking, but I can't wait to see whatever that's going to be. So, C.L., thank you so much, man. Really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank
and
you,
enjoy Easter with your family down in North Carolina, home of Blue Blood, North Carolina basketball, he says.
No, UConn, baby. The championships don't matter.
Yeah, I know. That'll be another. That's another. We'll have you on with some UConn people.
Yeah. I'm a Big East guy, so I'm hurt by that.
Maybe we'll have you on with Val Ackerman, the commissioner of the Big East. tell her that UConn had a blue blood. Hey, Vasil, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Jamal. Really appreciate you. Appreciate you.
And make sure you I'll get your stuff from Jamal.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, brother. Have a great Easter.
All right, y'all take care.
Thanks a lot, man.
The great C.L. Brown. That was great. It broke some news. Can't wait to see his columns. At the Louisville Courier Journal. It was a good get, Jamal.
That's my guy, college basketball. I saw him in Houston. And he told me about the news, so I thought that'd be a great person to talk to.
Yeah, that was great. Great stuff. All right, man. Anything else you got to say before we get out of here?
Not much. You got any predictions, on the NBA playoffs that are about to start? Who's your final, who you'd like to see in the final? How about that?
I don't give a damn. I guess, I mean, I don't care. Like Philadelphia, I would like to see Doc.
Okay. Okay.
Win an NBA championship.
All right. All right.
And maybe I'd like to see him face off against Tyronn Lue.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I think that would be good. That would be encouraging. Outside of that, man, just let the chips fall where they may. Maybe Boston, man.
I wouldn't mind seeing Boston get through. Yeah. But yeah, I'm kind of like you. I just want to see what happens. It looks to me like, you know, Boston or Milwaukee, but like you said, Philly has a shot. The Knicks are in the playoffs again. Jalen Brunson leads them to the playoffs. Yeah. Jalen Brunson and Randall lead them to the playoffs. They're going to play an interesting first round series against Cleveland, who is led by Donovan Mitchell, who the Knicks tried to get and couldn't get. So that's going to be a wild first round series.
And they could actually win that. And if they do that, man, New York, all of a sudden, I can't even, you know, Knicks fans, man, who knows what that's going to be like.
Yeah, so, you know, it should be fun. Even Brooklyn made the playoffs, so.
I know. I'd written them off, man. I'd written Brooklyn off. I shouldn't say that publicly. It's hard enough getting credentials, but it's all about the credentials, brother.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, you know, it'll be fun. The playoffs get started next week with the play-in, and then the real fun begins.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, listen, Jamal, enjoy a great Easter with your family.
You too.
Hope everybody's, you know, gets over the little aches and pains and ailments.
Yeah.
But have a great Easter. And to everybody else, you know, continue to listen. Continue to there are no more booster shots, I guess.
Not yet.
I'm kind of like a what do you call it? The COVID may be like a booster shot junkie.
The next ones are going to make us pay for.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's right. Who's in office.
Right.
Yeah. All right, man. Have a good Easter, and I'll see you then.
Yes,
see
you too.
See you next time. Hopefully next week.
Hopefully.
Next Thursday. All right.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.